Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, The Supreme Character of Jada Bharata, Text Number 4. The Brahmin father's mind was always filled with affection for his son, Jada Bharata Maharaj. Therefore, he was always attached to Jada Bharata, because Jada Bharata was unfit to enter the Grihastha ashram. He simply executed the purificatory process up to the end of the Brahmachari ashram. Although Jada Bharata was unwilling to accept his father's instructions, the Brahmana nonetheless instructed him in how to keep clean, how to wash, thinking that the son should be taught by the father. So let's repeat that, because it's a long verse. The Brahmana's father is mind. Doesn't sound very enthusiastic. The Brahmana's father is mind. Was always filled with affection for his son, Jada Bharata. Bharata Maharaj. Therefore, he was always attached to Jada Bharata. Because Jada Bharata was unfit to enter the Grihastha ashram, he simply executed the purificatory process up to the end of the Brahmacharya Ashrama. Oh, the Jada Bharata was unwilling to accept his father's instructions. The Brahmana, nonetheless, instructed him in how to keep clean and how to wash, thinking that the son should be taught by the father. Purport. Jada Bharata was Bharata Maharaj in the body of a Brahmana, and he outwardly conducted himself as if he were dull, deaf, dumb, and blind. Quite a combination. Actually, he was quite alert within. He knew perfectly well of the results of fruitive activity and the result of devotional service. In the body of a Brahmana, Bharata Maharaj, or Maharaj Bharata, was completely absorbed in devotional service within. Therefore, it was not at all necessary for him to execute the regular principles of fruitive activity. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sanustitasya Dharmasya Sam Sudhir Haritoshanam, the Bhagavatam 1.2.13. One has to satisfy Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of the regulative principles of fruitive activity. Besides that, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharmak Svanustitak Pumsam Vishvaksena Katasuya Nodpadayat Idi Ratim Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Duties, dharma executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction to the message of the Supreme Lord, the Bhagavatam 1.2.8. These karmakanda activities are required as long as one has not developed Krishna consciousness. If one is developed in Krishna consciousness, there is no need to execute the prior regulative principles of karmakanda. Srila Madhavendra Puri said, "All regulative principles of karmakanda, please excuse me. I cannot follow all these regular principles, for I am fully engaged in devotional service. express a desire to sit somewhere beneath a tree and continue chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Consequently, he did not execute all the regular principles. Similarly, Haridas Thakura was born in a Mohammed family. From the very beginning of his life, he was never trained in the Karmakanda system. But because he was always chanting the holy name of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as Namacharya, the authority in chanting the holy name. As Jada Bharata, Marta Maharaj was always engaged in devotional service within his mind. Since he had executed the regular principles continuously for three lives, he was not interested in continuing to execute them, although his Brahmana father wanted him to do so. So the translation again. The Brahmana's father's mind was always filled with affection for his son, Jada Bharata, Bharata Maharaj. Therefore, he was always attached to Jada Bharata. Because Jada Bharata was unfit to enter the Grihastha Ashram, he simply executed the purificatory process up to the end of the Brahmachari Ashram. Although Jada Bharata was unwilling to accept his father's instructions, the Brahmana nonetheless instructed him how to keep clean and how to wash, thinking that the son should be taught by the father. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gorvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschatyade Siddharane. Here mentions that the father should instruct his child. The instruction should be to elevate the child to a higher state of consciousness. The purpose of human life is to elevate our consciousness beyond the material concept of life to arrive at the platform of taking shelter of the super soul within our heart so we can execute devotional service and eventually become Krishna conscious. Is that too fast? Demasiado rápido. What's that? Mejor? Okay. In other words, everyone is taking birth in some state of consciousness. Generally, we divide the consciousness into the three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. But of course, there's endless combinations and permutations of these different states of consciousness. Generally, for the devotees, if we're sleepy in class, we can say we're practicing the mode of ignorance. If our minds are wandering everywhere, then we're in the mode of passion. And if we hear something once in a while, we're probably somewhere in the mode of goodness. And if we actually understand what we're hearing, we're becoming transcendental. In any case, it is not that if we become elevated in consciousness, it's a permanent situation. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that Chaturvida Bhajante Mam Janasukitina Arjuna Arta Jignasya Artarati Jnani Chavaratarshiva. That four kinds of pious people, they approach him. We can say that this is the Varna and Ashram system. In the Varna and Ashram system, it is meant for persons who want something from God because they feel needy in some way. Everyone in the material world feels needy. Anyone who has a material body is going to feel that there's something wrong. The main thing that's wrong is that we're growing old. We don't feel very at ease. We're going to die. And we have to take birth somewhere again. So that's very uncomfortable. So everyone feels that they're lacking security. Does anyone not feel that they're lacking security in the material world? Because it's a very unstable situation. As soon as we take birth, we begin the process of dying, which is not very pleasant. Or at least we can say we're not exactly sure what's going to happen from one moment to the next. Therefore, astrologers get good money sometimes. On the other hand, Krishna says, Chatura Vanya Maya Shistam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kartaram Apimam Vidya Kartaram Avyayam. That there are three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. And according to those modes, Krishna has created the four divisions of human society. As soon as we take birth, we're going to have to struggle. Struggle to survive. Struggle to be happy. We say it's struggle to be happy. Isn't that right? Everyone's working hard to become happy. Because everyone's looking for happiness. Actually, what everyone's looking for is some security. And based on that security, to know what to do. So we can become happy. But because in the material world, there's no security, we're never quite sure what I'm doing will ultimately achieve permanent happiness. A matter of fact, anyone who's been in the material world long enough has figured out that there is no permanent happiness here. There's no permanent situation, and therefore, how can there be any permanent happiness? We may like ice cream, for instance, especially when it's warm. And when we're eating the ice cream, what happens? Even if we're enjoying the ice cream, what happens when they're eating the ice cream? Does anyone know? What's that? It disappears. Has anyone ever noticed the ice cream disappears? And therefore, along with the disappearance of the ice cream, yay, nilo, prema, dana, ice cream vachur, then our happiness is also disappearing. And we can go and get another ice cream, but no matter how many ice creams we get, they're all going to disappear. And there'll come a point where there's no more room for any more ice cream. So it's futile getting another one. In any case, as soon as we're born, we're going to have to struggle. And generally speaking, we're struggling for the disappearance of distress and the attainment of some kind of positive happiness. And therefore, Krishna has given us an opportunity in the four ashrams and the four varnas. Generally, varna is first, because people are working hard. What is the ultimate goal that people are working hard for? What do they want to get? Really? You think people just want to get money? What's that? What is the happiness that everyone's looking for? What is the first happiness everyone's looking for while they're working to get money? Yes, they want something to eat. If you had €10 billion, but they told you you can't eat from now on, would you be very happy? No. So everyone is working for eating, and the varnas help us eat. At least the Brahmins give instructions to the Kshatriyas how to perform sacrifice so that rain will come and the Vaishyas could grow food, protect the cows, Shudras and the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins then get something to eat when the food is grown and the cows give milk. When the Brahmins don't give any direction to the Kshatriyas, because there are no Kshatriyas, then there is no sacrifices. And because there's no sacrifices, therefore there is irregular rain, the weather becomes climate change, the food becomes scarcer, and there's nothing to eat in some parts of the world. And people are very upset. Now, we take birth as Shudras. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, generally we take birth as Shudras, and by training we become less than an animal. Doesn't sound very positive. But if we take birth as a Shudra, if we're fortunate enough to take birth as a Shudra, and then we receive some training, then we can become a bona fide Shudra. A little training. And a bona fide Shudra, what is the quality of a Shudra? He's always lamenting. He's in distress. And because they're in distress, therefore they take shelter of a process they take shelter of the higher orders of life to satisfy their distress, to fill their empty stomach, and to gratify their senses. That's why the Shudras are in distress. But in the Vanashram system, the Shudras are regulated so they don't eat too much, sleep too much, mate too much, or defend too much. They're under control. And therefore, because they're under control, therefore their distress is minimized. But if someone doesn't want to become a bona fide Shudra, he doesn't want to become submissive to any higher authority, then he becomes what? Does anyone know? He becomes a mudha. A rascal and fool. When Prabhupada talked about rascals and fools, it's those people who are the qualities of a Shudra, but they won't even accept submission to the higher orders of life, and therefore they make no progress. They simply remain eating, sleeping, mating, defending as the goal of life. Or as they say in Spain, Porriga Yena, Corazón contento. When the stomach is full, the heart is pleased. Now, if one, by good fortune, gets good association and progresses either in one life or in many lives to come to the mode of passion and ignorance, a combination of those, then he becomes what's called a Vaishya. Now, a Vaishya is someone who's, there's a quality of distress, but they know how to overcome that distress. Namely, they know how to grow food and protect the cows so they can get something to eat. And when they can get, they know how to get something to eat so they're not so much in anxiety. Just like in our society nowadays, very few devotees know how to grow food, nor do they have any interest in growing food. Although we talk about Vanashram Dharma sometimes, but we only want Brahmins. We want to be the Brahmins of society, but without anyone growing food. It's called half the hen. We want the golden egg, but we don't want to feed the goose. Vaishyas are necessary in society because someone has to grow food. For instance, if suddenly the supermarkets close, there is no food, we probably wouldn't chant Hare Krishna as enthusiastically, especially after a few weeks of no food. But if one is actually a Vaishya, they know how to grow food. Vaishya doesn't mean simply knowing how to cheat people of their money. Then the result is that people become peaceful because the means of economic development are within their influence. Nowadays, people that when you ask them, as I ask the question, what will make people happy? They say, if you get money. Unfortunately, they don't make edible money nowadays. So you can have €1 billion, either electronically or physically, but if there's no food, you can't eat the euros. So the money is useless. You can't even burn it. It's usually made out of plastic. But if one becomes a bona fide Shudra, gets training by the higher classes, generally in some time one will become qualified to become a Vaishya. That is, learn how to protect the cows principally, and how to grow food, how to trade, etc., just by good association. But if one does not, if one becomes a bona fide Shudra and makes progress, but then becomes a demon, and what does a demon mean? A demon doesn't mean that they grow 2 horns and get a tail. That's not what a demon means. It means that one gives up the shastra. One gives up the regular principles. One gives up one's duty according to the mode of nature. One has elevated themselves to a higher mode of nature, but now they want to enjoy that mode of nature. Prabhupada even says many devotees, they join the Hare Krishna movement, but within their heart, there's a desire for economic development. It's kind of a modification of, oh Lord, please give me my daily bread. Our modification of that is, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, or a house by the sea. Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. That's our modification of daily bread. So they become elevated in the mode of nature, but now they want to enjoy. So they've given up scripture and they become a Naradama. They look civilized. They eat their dead animals with a fork and knife, and they wipe off the blood with a nice napkin. So they consider themselves civilized, but actually they're animals, simply dressed as human beings. Some of them, though, may accept as Vaishyas, although it's very rare in this age. They protect the cows. They properly farm. And they become elevated, eventually, by following the directions of the Kshatriyas, providing the materials for sacrifice. They become elevated in consciousness. They come to the mode of passion. And in the mode of passion, if they accept the scripture, then they become what we would call Kshatriya. They gain some knowledge from the Brahmins, from the scripture, and therefore they know how to protect society. They're supposed to be the governors of society. They know what the purpose of life is, and they direct the people who are subordinate to them towards the purpose of life, towards sacrifice. Therefore, they can be called Kshatriyas. They protect people. But if they don't, if they become elevated to the mode of passion, but they want to enjoy, then they become mental speculators, and they mislead people And they're known as Maya Preeti Gyanis. Their activities are not based upon knowledge. They're based upon false knowledge, mental speculation, and therefore they become degraded. If trying to protect people, gaining knowledge from the Brahmins, then they themselves become Brahmins, seeking liberation from material life, from all the miseries of material life, seeking their spiritual identity, becoming aware of their spiritual identity, then they're called Brahmins. They understand that that's the purpose of the material existence, is to perform sacrifice to become aware of their real, true self. But after becoming aware of their real, true self, if they've declared that they're God, that there is a supreme, like Hiranyakashipu and others, then they become asuram bhavam ashrityas. They become demons. So it is not that demon means the lowest mode of nature. Demons can be on any mode of nature, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. The difference between a demon and the divine is simply the demons don't accept scripture and the divine do. We can accept scripture on any mode of nature, either in goodness or passion or ignorance, or we can reject it on any mode of nature. Scripture means not only the book, but also the person who's delivering the knowledge. Book, Bhagavat, and book, person, are said to be the same. So Bharat Maharaj, he was on the platform of, in his previous life, he was a deer. And before that, he was practically liberated. He was beyond liberation. He was practically on the platform of love of God. But he fell down because beyond liberation, beyond a Brahman, is when we're situated in our identity and then our activities become that of devotion to Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Savaraham Eva Vedyo, Vedanta Krid Veda Vid Eva Chaham. That the purpose of all this Varna and Ashram system is to elevate oneself to the platform of Krishna consciousness. There are two types of Swadharma. Swa means oneself, and Dharma means duties, what we're supposed to do. There is duties according to the psychophysical nature we've acquired, and then there's duty according to the soul. So the soul's duty is to serve Krishna in pure devotional service. And if he serves the others according to the mode of nature that he's acquired. If we take up the duties of Varna and Ashram, that will help lead us to understand the real self by a gradual process. If we accept ourselves as Krishna's servant and perform the duties in Krishna's service to please Krishna, then automatically the duties of Varna and Ashram will be fulfilled. Now we cannot say that we fully accepted our position as Krishna's servant, but to some degree we have, and therefore to some degree, or to that degree, the duties in Varna and Ashram become less significant. But they're utilized in our, for instance, in the Hare Krishna movement, to help us control our mind and senses. For instance, ashram means principally to get free from sex life, which is the principal binding force of the material existence and the motivating factor behind economic development. Therefore, the activities of the relationship between men and women are especially, in the Varna and Ashram system, especially regulated. Modern culture, they're especially unregulated. But we accept some of them so that we don't become distracted from the actual process of pure devotional service. But still, there are, even amongst the devotees, there's going to be different degrees of understanding and different degrees of material attachment. And therefore, that we accept brahmachari, grihastha, something about vanaprastha and sannyas, to help regulate our mind and senses so we don't become distracted from our mission of pure devotional service. So our main duty in this age is to chant Hare Krishna. And also, along with chanting Hare Krishna, to tell others about Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and he not only taught everyone to chant Hare Krishna, but he also said we should tell everyone about Krishna. So if we do that, then our duties are on the level of Swadharma, is on the level of following the orders of Krishna coming down in disciple succession. That becomes our duty to Krishna, rather than our duty to the Varna and Ashram solo. We accept some elements of Varna and Ashram, but our main emphasis is upon the duty to chant Hare Krishna without offense and to spread Krishna consciousness. In that way, we learn to love Krishna, we learn to cooperate with the devotees, we learn how to help in the cooperation, to love, in loving Krishna and cooperating with the devotees. Our purpose is to help the innocent and defeat the atheists or avoid them. In that way, we have all kinds of duties to perform in service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and that becomes our means of coming to the platform of Krishna Prema, or awakening our consciousness and our love for Krishna, which is the aim of whatever anyone is doing here in the material world. So Bharat Maharaj, he was already on the level of pure devotional service, and therefore there is no need to perform duties to elevate himself to a higher mode of nature, because he was beyond the material nature. And therefore he acted as if he was dumb, deaf, blind, and dull. But his father wanted to instruct him. So his father was doing his duty, and Bharat didn't worry about his duty, because he was already situated in pure Krishna consciousness. Interesting enough, even when one is on the spiritual platform, one should still do his duty. One day, Jagannath Misra heavily chastised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for doing something wrong. And so that night, a Brahmin came to Jagannath Misra in his dream and said, "My dear Jagannath Misra, your son is the effulgent, self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no need to instruct him." But Jagannath Misra said, "I don't really care who my son may be. It is the duty of a father to instruct his son, and therefore I must instruct him." And the Brahmin said, "No, you don't understand. Your son is the self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whoever he may be," Jagannath Misra said, "it doesn't matter to me. It is my duty to instruct him." So all night long they had an argument in his dream, in Jagannath Misra's dream. Finally, at the end of the night, the Brahmin in the dream became very satisfied, and he left very happy. And Jagannath Misra woke up and continued to instruct his son, Nimai. So even when we come to the transcendental platform, still we perform our duties, but we do them for Krishna. The spiritual world, people have duties. It's not all spontaneous. It's not that one day we decide that I'm in spontaneous love and I'm going to offer Radha and Krishna a pizza party. And we'll bring some ice cream and 7-Up. No, we have to find out what Radha and Krishna want and do that to please them. So that becomes our duty. As here, we may not like to have duties, especially in modern society, people are claiming that they're free. They're free to serve their unbridled senses according to what the television is ordering them to do, or the internet, or whatever other source of information they have. They're being driven by their unbridled senses, directed by demons who don't follow scripture. And therefore, they're degrading everyone to the lowest possible position. And therefore, we don't have to worry about there'll be a lack of trees in Kali Yuga. There's plenty of people lining up to take birth as trees or a lower species of life. So it's our job to introduce the chanting, because that's an authorized service to perform in this age. Transcendental, but it's so powerful that it can elevate anyone in any platform, whether they're in the lowest level or in the highest level. By chanting Hare Krishna, everyone will become elevated. And eventually, perhaps wake up to their relation with Krishna and begin real life again. So I'll stop there. Gracias. Thank you. Any questions? Hay una pregunta? Yes.
Thank you for the lecture. Sometimes I would say that I'm not humble, but rather I have no self-esteem, and I chant with offenses. So I wonder, is this a matter of concern for me, or maybe also some other devotees? Would it be wise in such a case to look for some help outside of our community, like psychotherapy or something like this?
Well, from my experience, yeah. Generally speaking, we want to look for help from people who are higher than we are. But if we go to the psychiatrist, generally speaking, they're on a lower platform than we are, unless they're a pure devotee or a devotee. Therefore, to go to someone who's sinking in an ocean, when you're drowning, to find someone near you who's also drowning, is probably not a very good idea. They can't help you very much. Better look for some method, and we have the method. For instance, if someone throws you a lifesaver and you neglect it, instead you take shelter of someone who's drowning, it's not very wise. Better to grab hold of the lifesaver. Therefore, we already have the perfect system. Now, our main problem is we think we're the body. As soon as we realized, even to a small extent, that we're not the body, then there's no question. Whatever our state of mind is, whatever our physical body is, it makes no difference because it's not us. As soon as we understand that, then we have no problem. Whether we have high self-esteem or low self-esteem, whether we're humble or proud, whatever, it has nothing to do with ourselves. We're only 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary size. So when we realize that Krishna is everything and we're 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary size, then obviously we're going to become very humble. There's no reason not to be humble when you're so small and Krishna is so big. And as far as low self-esteem, all we can do is say that I feel, you know, that I'm not the greatest, or I don't feel I'm very important. Well, we're not very important. We're insignificant. So it's good to have low self-esteem. But we should understand we have a duty to Krishna. And although we're very tiny, that we can please Krishna. And that's the perfection of our existence. And when Krishna is pleased, even we add a little bit of pleasure to Krishna, then we're serving everyone simultaneously. So a little screw in a big machine is not very important. But if you take the screw out, the machine, or if you put the screw in, the machine will work better. So we have a value when we're in the machine, and we're insignificant and unimportant when we're outside the machine. So once we put ourselves in the machine And we see we're actually an instrument to make everyone happy, give people real knowledge and make them happy, then we'll actually understand that we do have some value. Outside that value, outside of that, helping people awaken their Krishna consciousness, then we don't have very much value. And therefore, Maya will give us low self-esteem because we deserve it. We're not acting properly. And if we have high self-esteem when we're useless, that's called illusion also. We think we're doing something very important, but actually whatever we're doing is a waste of time. But any devotee who's doing anything in service to Krishna, according to the authorized process given to him by Krishna's authorities, then what he's doing is very valuable, is perfect, and will actually help everyone in this universe make a little progress towards Krishna consciousness. We're serving not only Krishna, but we're serving everyone simultaneously. Is that clear? Anything else? Hay una pregunta? Yes.
My question, when is devotee ready to go from one ashram to another, like from brahmachari to the ashram?
When is he ready?
Yeah.
Well, once he's, if he wants to go to another ashram, he should learn the art. What are the duties in the other ashram? It's not that I can't say as a brahmachari, let me try out what happens as a grihastha. We should know what a grihastha life is before we enter into it, or a sannyas, whatever. We should know what we're doing. Just like, how do you know, the example in the Bhagavatam is, how do you know when you're going to transfer from one leaf to the next? When's the time to transfer? What do you have to do first before you transfer from one leaf to the next? Any idea? If you're an earthworm. Yeah, you have to be situated in the next leaf. Otherwise you might miss the leaf and fall, off the tree. So we should know what Grihastha Ashram is and how to perform the duties, or else how can we do that? What to speak of sannyas? So we should know what dhanam is, what charity is, what kind of charity we should give as a householder, how we should remain fixed, for instance, in giving our family members Krishna consciousness. We should donate Krishna consciousness to our family members and people outside of Krishna consciousness. We should dhamma. We should be controlling our mind and senses, following four regular principles even in household or life, by engaging them in Krishna's service as a sacrifice, jaga. Engaging household life as a sacrifice for Vishnu. Otherwise, it becomes, instead of food for life, it becomes food for me and my wife. Is that right? Anything else? Yes, Nityai Doi.
Does it to understand we're not the body, is this the same as to realize what kind of body we are, spiritual body?
No, to realize what we're not doesn't mean we know who we are. Just like you may become intoxicated and you're at a costume party and you think you become Jesus Christ. And then gradually the influence of the intoxication wears off and you realize you're not Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you remember who you are yet. Just like you may be dreaming and then you wake up, so the dream ends. But then you have to gradually remember who you are and where you are, what you're supposed to be doing. Anything else? Yes.
Does our focus change when we get the higher taste?
Well, we hope so. That's the whole idea of getting the higher taste, is to change the focus so we can get more of a higher taste. Just like, for instance, if you were spending your life eating sweet rice, instead of putting sugar in it, you put sand all the time. And the one day someone put sugar instead of sand in the sweet rice, you say, wow, this tastes a lot better than the sweet rice with the sand in it. Do you think the next time you're not going to notice whether they put sand or sugar in it? You're going to demand. You have to put sugar in it. Your focus will change. Anything else? Yes.
Yesterday, we today mentioned four divisions and four
the blind are leading the blind. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, if people aren't raised in consciousness, if they can continue to degrade, they won't be able to grow food anymore, and we won't have any prasad to offer to the deities. So, if only to get some prasad on, we should go out and spread the holy name. Of course, there's higher things also we're looking for, but even to eat in this age, people will have to chant Hare Krishna. In the previous Kali Yugas, Krishna also comes and distributes the holy name. But the main purpose of that is not to get Krishna prema. Generally, people accept it in order to survive in Kali Yuga, to get food, to get rain. All right, so I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.